Good morning. It's a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Dueling town halls last night for President Donald Trump and Joe Biden, one on NBC, one on ABC, moderated by Savannah Guthrie of NBC and George Stephanopoulos of ABC. From the Washington Post, Alan, Trump's combative town hall stands in stark contrast with Biden event. Trump flashed impatience with the persistent questioning of Savannah Guthrie, tense exchanges over QAnon and his taxes, among other topics. On the pandemic, the election central issue, he and Joe Biden appeared to inhabit not just different television studios, but different universes. Your thoughts this morning after last night's events?
Well, first of all, congratulations to Savannah Guthrie. She gave him a hard time. She gave Trump a hard time. And a lot of people had sort of poo-pooed her choice in the beginning, but she was extraordinarily strong, and she got in his face, and she came back against some of the lies. So good for her. George Stephanopoulos was okay, and the outcome was predictable. Look, David, about 5% of the people are indicating that they haven't made up their minds yet, and that 5% could be crucial. So these debates are important. The one thing that we saw from Joe Biden was that he was going to be policy-oriented. He was going to keep calm, as opposed to the bombastic, lying, difficult president of the United States who's desperate to turn things around because the polling is showing that he's losing. Now, losing in terms of popular vote is one thing, and making sure that the people's will is adhered to is another. And I think that's what's got an awful lot of people worried, that this guy will not give up easily, and that it may come down to either the military or others taking a hand to make sure that the people's will be enforced. He'll go to the Supreme Court. He's already announced he's delighted to have Amy Coney Barrett in office so that she'll be there if he needs her when it comes down to it in the end. We know that the president and his party are doing everything they can to suppress the vote because there are more Democrats around than there are Republicans. And the more you make it difficult, the fewer votes that there will be for Joe Biden. And so as for the debate, nobody wanted to answer the right questions. And one of the right questions posed to Biden is, would he expand the court? He sure didn't say no. He said, I'll let you know, basically. And that well may happen right before the election. The obvious problem for the Democrats right now is that some people in their vice presidential candidate's corner have tested positive for the coronavirus, and she's not traveling. So it is problematic. We know that Hillary Clinton might have won had she gone to some of those key states which went narrowly for Trump. So the one thing that we know is that if you show up and you're a candidate, it helps.
Well, there was the president last night again talking about election fraud. Quote, when I see thousands of ballots dumped in a garbage and happen to have my name on it, I'm not happy about it. The facts, nobody's seen that. Contrary to Trump's repeated baseless attacks on voting security, voting election fraud is vanishingly rare. No cases involving thousands of ballots dumped in the trash have been reported in this election. The Brennan Center for Justice, Alan, ranked the risk of ballot fraud in 2017 as at 0.00004%.
Okay, what do we know? We know that Trump is a lying liar. He is also what we could call a projector. He projects his own plans, which is to alter this election, onto the Democrats. Can you imagine Joe Biden engaging in something like a plan to steal votes? It's just nonsense. Not that man. And here's Trump, who we know is capable of it. He's suppressing the vote. He's making it difficult for people to vote. His party has been disgraceful in all of this. So again, you say the other guy's doing what you're doing, and that's called the mechanism of projection, and he's an expert at that.
Meanwhile, all around us, the hospitalizations and the pandemic, COVID-19, are growing. If you look at that map on the New York Times website, they show in real time, you watch month by month the cases, and they are on the rise all around the country, all over Europe. We are in a second wave, certainly, some saying a third peak now, and this isn't going away. Even Chris Christie has acknowledged he was wrong, telling people to wear a mask because he got the virus from the Amy Coney Barrett celebration.
That's right. Right. And we know that those of us with some pre-existing conditions are really at risk right now. Scares the hell out of me, and it should everybody else. The idea that you see foolish people walking around without masks, a la the Chris Christie admission, is extraordinary. And we know there are some pre-existing things, diabetes. A good part of this country has type 2 diabetes. We know that people who are overweight, Chris Christie, by the way, are more susceptible. So what do we know? Well, wash your hands, wearing a mask. We know that too. Wearing a mask is important not only to protect yourself, but to make sure that others are protected too. These are the things that work, that we know work. Get some exercise. There are many people who believe in gargling. Whatever it takes, you know, one's life is at stake. And when I see some of these people at the Trump rallies walking around without masks, and not huge numbers of them, I'm saying to myself, what is going on?
Well, you've been talking, Alan, all along since Trump took office, whether any Republicans would stand up against him, show a profile and courage. Seems like none of that has really happened. And yet we see this morning slamming Trump. GOP senator warns of Republican bloodbath. Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska said President Trump cozied up to dictators and white supremacists during a telephone town hall with constituents. Quote, he has flirted with white supremacists and his family treated the presidency like a business opportunity, said Sasse. How many other Republicans feel this way?
Well, I have a feeling a lot of them feel that way, and it's extraordinary that Sasse did it in a more public way. But hey, look what I do, not what I say. Will he vote for the president's empowerment and his Supreme Court justice? Of course he will. And what it means is not clear to me. You know, it's one thing to talk to your town hall and to tell people what's going on with the president, but it's another to behave in a way in which his plans are disrupted by your actions as a senator. And that is what we have to see now.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.